aware of the time, and I'm sure the Lord is too. There's a real development of a message that's coming forth here this morning. And the services are never really planned. God plans the services here, which I praise the Lord for. But the further development of being able to walk in the light and learn the principles of holiness as they apply to your life and my life is what we call the process of sanctification, where it says in the Word of God, where Paul says that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Even that each one of you should know how to possess your vessel in holiness. Now, you probably can't see it, but the Lord this morning is great. The Lord's great, I'll tell you. The Lord this morning wanted me to start off with a key principle of truth that comes out of Matthew. That Jesus says, if your eye be single, your whole body be full of light. And as I develop this a little further, you're going to see how this man's testimony and what God did with his natural eye is an illustration of what he wants to do in your spirit, man, in your heart. And I'm not going to be able to get through all of this morning. Now, I can do it, but I don't think you can probably sit there, and I don't think the Lord wants to do it that way. But tonight, there's going to be ministry that's going to happen. Because, brothers and sisters, we need physical healings, because physical healings hinder our relationship with God. How many of you know when you have a headache or a head cold, it's hard to keep your concentration on things of the Lord? It's hard to get into the Spirit. You know, the same way with physical ailments. But even more important sometimes than physical healing is the inward man revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of His Word and how you are to walk in this world, whether you're sick or whether you're not sick. Because not everybody that prays is immediately healed. Now, if you could see this window here up closely, you'd see all kinds of spots on it. It's not clean. No offense. But if you are always used to looking through a window with spots on it, you would never know that it was not clean, because it would be normal to you. The guy came, we had him come, and all he did was told us our windows were dirty. The word that came forth this morning, it was a word from the Lord. I didn't give it as a word from the Lord because Pastor was calling people up forward, and I felt to give it as more or less of a exhortation, a word of exhortation. But it was the call to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you remember, the key passage that the Lord wants to direct us to is, and his wife has what? Made herself ready. How many husbands here put lipstick and makeup on their wives for them in the morning? Good thing. I didn't see any hands. You see, we're in type the bride of Christ. Guess what, church? It's our responsibility to do what Jesus has given us to do with the power He's given us to do it with, and with the revealed will and Word of God. It's our responsibility to make ourselves ready and be a perfect bride. And He said, be ye perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And we can. We can be perfect. It starts with the perfection of the inward man. That's what it starts with. As He reveals light to you and I, none of us had any more light than the morning or the day that we were saved. When you were saved, when you came to the Lord the first time, you had as much light as you'll ever have. thing is, we don't know what to do with all the light that we have. And they always say that a newborn Christian should be locked up for 3 months, you know, until he gets some foundation in him and gets some word in him. He goes around and just, you know, tells everybody about Jesus. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we get a little zealous, you know. And if you come out of a rough background, you take them down and you put your hands on their throat and you say, "Repent!" Now, some people, you know, do it that way, to each his own. It's not really the way it's supposed to be done. Nonetheless, just to start off with, to start off with, I want to give you something that you can, it's really helped me. And it's something that just came to me over the process of time. It's something that I found myself walking in, that the Lord gave me a four-step, more or less of a little four-step thing that if I would do this, well, I was already walking in it, but he had me share it with others. And this is really the way that you and I can grow in the Lord. Now, the first thing is, and I like to precede sometimes the message with this because it's important. You see, there was another word that God gave me. It wasn't meant to be at right then, but it's meant to be now. We're in a battle. Hey, church, Jesus says, you are in a battle. You are in warfare. This is war. And if you don't stay close to me, and if you don't learn my word, and if you don't develop a relationship with Jesus Christ and a relationship with men of God and people of God, you'll be defeated. You may be saved and you may go into glory to be saved, but you're going to be defeated while you're here on earth. And we're not called to live defeated lives. We're called to be overcomers. Now you can, you know, some of us, you see people all the time that are somewhat like retarded Christians. You know what I'm saying? They've been in the Lord 10, 12 years, and they're still, you know, they're still in the basic elementary things, and there's no depth to them. And these are the kind of people that go from meeting to meeting. They spend 3 or 4 months in the church, and about the time that God starts honing in on them and turning up the heat a little bit, making things a little uncomfortable, starting to clean that spirit out, they feel persecuted. Well, I'm leaving. He doesn't have a right to talk to me that way. And all he's doing is preaching the word. And all of a sudden, he's talking to you. You know, have you ever felt like the whole message was to you? A lot of times, right? Glory to God. First thing we do is when we come, whether you're in your car, or whether you're in church, or whether you're in a home meeting, or whatever, whenever the Word of God is getting ready to be preached, whenever you're in the Word of God reading, you give 100% of your attention to it. Don't allow distractions to come in any way. Set your will that you're going to hear everything that the man of God has to say, everything that the message has to say, and you're not going to be distracted by someone saying, "Hey, what time is it?" And, you know, things going on. Be attentive to the Word of God. Give your 100% attention to it. He's worthy to have your attention. The second thing is, mark what moves you. Write down what moves. Not everything that's said is going to move you. Because there's differences in all of us, and all of us are in different places in the world. Not everything will move you. But you know what moves you. You know when something quickens to your spirit. You know when you read the Word of God and you say, "Well, I think I'll read the book of Acts. You know, I think I'll read 3 chapters. And you get through the first couple of verses of Acts chapter 1, and something jumps out at you, and you say, "Wow," you know. And you stop and you got a choice. Well, I'd like to meditate on this, Lord, but I said I was going to read 3 chapters before it was, you know, so I think I'll read on. Well, that's foolishness. So you mark what moves you. The third thing you do is you get the full counsel of God on what moved you. How do you get the full counsel of God? You go through your scripture, you go through the Word of God, and you get all the corresponding scriptures and principles that deal with the thing that moved you. If when I said, let your eye be single and your whole body be full of light, and that moved you, that quickened your spirit, that rung a bell. That's a principle of truth. Okay? That's a principle of truth. So what you do is you go through the Word and you find everything that has to deal with vision, seeing, eyesight, whatever the Word has to say about it, and make yourself a little outline on it. And go through it, and God will minister to you. The fourth thing and the last thing you do is determine in your will and in your heart and in your mind that you are going to do what that Word says. A lot of us miss it, and I'll tell you why. We never set our will. We have desires. We desire to do this. I would really like to go to church twice on Sunday, but I just can't. You know, there's things that come up. And, you know, strain. I'd like to, but. See, the thing is, we don't set our will. That this is what God has for us. And listen, you're in the world 6 days a week. Most of the people you talk with and communicate with are sinners. Do you think you may have need of getting some spiritual input 1 day a week? Probably. I'll tell you what, if I was on the front line 6 days a week and they said, Gene, would you like Sunday off? No, I'd just really rather be up here risking my life. Well, could we bring you a meal? Well, you could bring me one meal. How about two steaks? No, I don't want two. Just one. Are you kidding me? You'd have to force me back out there Monday morning. We need the fellowship of the Spirit. We need to be under the anointing and the Word of God being preached. That's what moves us. Now listen to this. When the Word of God is taught through the teacher, or sometimes through the pastor, when the Word of God is being taught, when teaching comes forth, it brings scriptural and it brings godly adjustments to your thinking process. It brings an adjustment to how you think. Okay? When we teach the Word of God, it brings an adjustment, an order to your mind. That's what teaching does. It brings order to your intellect. When the Word of God is preached, it brings order and adjustments to your spirit man. Your spirit is adjusted. That's why the world calls preaching foolishness. They say, did you see that guy? He rants and he raves and he walks around. He throws his Bible. My kids love to watch Jimmy Swaggart. Brandon says, he's 9. He says, boy, he sure is rough on his Bible. You know, that's the whole message he gets out of it. He's rough on his Bible. But the thing is, what does it say? Through hearing, how does faith come? Faith comes through the Word of God. And how? Through hearing the Word of God. Through the ministry of preaching. Through the foolishness of preaching. God, it's His plan. What does it do? It brings faith to us. And it brings spiritual adjustments. There's adjustments. The Word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts and divides and it separates the flesh from the spirit. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. That's what the Word of God does. Now I'll tell you what happens when the Word of God is preached under an anointing. You begin to get a little convicted. Some of you start blinking. You know, an arrow goes, oh, that one got me. You know, and it reveals sin. Hallelujah! Do you want to carry it around? I don't. Now, that's how we clean the window. How many of you know that when, logically speaking, if you've walked in the world 24 years like I did, and been raised in the world system, and learned everything that the world teaches about being a success, or not everything, but that was my whole mindset. Well, when you come into the kingdom of God, are things just a little different? They're just a little different, aren't they? As a matter of fact, I heard a preacher once say, you know, people come to me and ask me, I'm counseling constantly. That's his first mistake. But he's counseling constantly. And he says, People are always asking me, well, what does God want me to do in this situation? What is the kingdom way of doing it in this situation? What is God's kingdom way of doing it in this situation? He says, there are so many different things that I have to tell these people. He says, I devised one thing to tell them all. I thought, oh boy, this would be great. And I'm sitting there watching television, right? And the guy says, I said to these people, this is what I tell them. He says, I tell them, well, how does the world tell you to do it? How is everybody that you see doing it? Just do it the opposite way. And you'll be real close. And you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Okay. I just want to... Proverbs, I'm going to just continue from where you left off. My son, incline to my words. This is chapter 4. 20 on down. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your what? Eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Two keys, heart and eyes. Okay? For they are life to those that find them and health to their flesh. Keep your what? Your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth, perverse lips put far from you. He's beginning to deal with some of the things that we do. Verse 25, let your what? Your eyes look right on, let your eyelids look straight on before you. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, remove your foot from evil. Let's turn back. You see, the issues of life come from our heart. The Word of God says our heart is evil. It says the heart of man before it's made new and born again is evil. There's evil in our heart. Now, what determines what we believe? What determines how we see? It's how we are in our heart that determines what we do in this world. Now, Jesus said, I need to lay a few scriptures out, and then I'll give you the concept of what I'm talking about, okay? But I need to lay a few scriptures out first. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now he gives us the key in how to begin to cleanse our heart. For the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If how we see now is polluted. Now, the only reason our brother knew that he was having a problem with his eyesight is because he had good eyesight. But you see, you and I don't have that privilege. We were not perfect and then fell. We did not have all wisdom and then fell. We did not have a perfect relationship with God and then fell. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He pulled us out of the miry pit. We were born into this world under the bondage of sin, weren't we? We lived in this world, by the world, subject to the world, in bondage to the world. We saw as the world saw. We talked as the world talked. We did what the world did. Anybody else out there do that? I did. The scripture says, before you were first enlightened, isn't that interesting, enlightened, you were led about by the principality of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And when we come to the Lord, there's a cleansing and there's a great light that comes into your life. When I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered of evil spirits, I got up out of that chair, and brother, I'm going to tell you what I saw. Light and life, and I saw truth and reality like I had never seen it before. they, you know, people laugh about this song, various songs about that has come down the road through Christianity. I saw the light. I saw the light. You know, that was my testimony. I saw the light. I saw what the bars meant. I saw the immorality of life. I saw all these things. Who taught me? Nobody. When I sat down in the chair with a sinner, weeping and wailing and crying and repenting because I had offended God. Let me tell you something. When I came to the Lord, I wept like a baby. I was devastated in my heart because I had offended the one who loved me. Conviction, true conviction came upon me. True repentance. And I wept and I cried. 245 pounds, bench press almost 500 pounds, had a 19-inch neck, heavyweight champion in San Francisco. I wept like a baby. Broken in my heart because I have offended God. Because I saw Him as being perfect. People, you know what pulls us down? You know what keeps us from walking this life? You know what keeps you and I from going to church twice on Sunday? We have lost our vision. You see, I've been praying to the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, how can I really be able to impart truth and life to these people if you don't show me the degradation, if you don't show me the I can't even explain it, the darkness that is in sin and that encompasses people's lives. Let me see into your spiritual realm. Let me see sin as it really is. Let me see righteousness, Lord. Let me see your throne. Let me see Jesus who sits on the throne with his hair as white as wool. His eyes are as a fire. His tongue is like a double-edged sword. He's got a golden breastplate upon him. His feet are fine brass and looks like they've come out of a furnace. And when he speaks, the whole world shakes. The whole universe trembles. Every angel falls at his feet. And they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. This is the Lord we serve. We don't serve some flower-picking, daisy-talking, little meek man walking around saying, oh, I love you, I love you. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Captain of the Host. And He's trying to raise up an army. And in this army, there are praisers and there are cooks and there are worshipers. There's a difference between praisers and worshipers. There's a difference between cooks and those that sow and those that heal and those that have the sword that go in the front line. Those that preach the gospel into the communities. Shake your city to its core. The city isn't offended with this church. The city's not offended with any church in this valley. You know why? Because the city's not being shaken. Let the city be shaken. Let him be shaken with the gospel and the truth of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I don't know how much time we have, and if we've got 100,000 years, I'll be just as zealous and on fire as I am today, because it doesn't matter. I'm going to be found working when he comes. But there is something more than just sitting here. There's something more than going twice on Sunday. But if we can't even go twice on Sunday, how in the world are we going to fight the enemy out there in the street? If we see this as the fortification that we need, if we'll start walking in these righteous principles that we have learned, if we'll start learning how to divide what is truth and what is error, when the brother comes up to you and says, oh, praise the Lord, but they're in fornication and adultery and they're alcoholics and they come to church and they espouse big things and give good testimonies and behind closed doors they're evil and they're wretched. And we know it and we fellowship. We put our arms around them and we say, oh, Jesus loves you. We give them the right hand of fellowship. And yet the Word of God says we're not even to eat with a brother who's called a fornicator or an idolater or covetous person or liar. The Word of God says we're to have a relationship with the world of communication and love and sacrifice. If the world wants my coat, they can have it. If the world wants something from me and I have it, I'll give it to them. But I won't fellowship them and I won't fellowship their works. I'll remain holy and pure to God. Because when they meet me, they're going to be convicted of their sins. And when they meet you, they should be convicted of their sins. They should see something that's pure. Something that's holy. Something that is unblemished. Something that is clear. When somebody looks into your eyes, they should be able to see something in there that is crystal clear. Now we turn that back around when you look into their eyes. Are you able to see their heart? Are you able to perceive their heart? Are you able to find out what in them is good and of God and that loves God? Are you able to find that out? Are you able to see that? Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, pull the log out of your eye before you start going after the speck in your brother's. Now you know what? A speck in my eye looks like a log in your eye. You see how it works? A little grain of sand placed inside of your eye will almost blind you, depending on where it's at. 3/4 of everything that you used to see, you won't see. And when you look at somebody else, you'll say, well, how greatly in sin this brother is. I need to talk to him. And all the time, it's in your eye. There are some things, when a camera is some of these cheaper forms cameras, video cameras, you have to be careful and not shine them toward the sun or toward any great light, because it'll burn the lens. And which causes a distortion, or it causes a hazy, it causes an imperfection color-wise in the film when you see it. You get too close to the light, folks, what happens? Yeah. And Jesus said their deeds were evil. They love the darkness more than the light. And when they get close to light, they're like the roaches, you know, they're like the little bugs underneath the rocks. When you turn the rocks over, the light hits them and they run for shelter. We need God first to do something in our lives. In such a, see what happens? Why do we fall away? Why do we get cold? Really, you can say, well, you know, it's the devil or this, that, or the other, or this brother lied to me. But really what it is we get our eyes off the Lord. Really what it is we lose our vision for where He's taking us. And you see, we live a spiritual life. This is why people mock Christians. Because we worship an unknown God. That's why all the nations that were surrounded Israel, and that Israel eventually overcame and kicked them out of the land, that's what they said. Israel worships the unknown God, the unseen God. Why? Because all of their gods were graven images. All of their gods were gods that could be seen. Yet gods that could do nothing. But they thought they did something. I want to give you two examples in Scripture of how God sovereignly came down and opened the eyes of two people. And I want to leave this with you this morning, and then this evening we'll further develop it and apply it to... See, we need spiritual truths. It's one thing to say, okay, by His stripes I am healed. And receive healing. That's great. But see, I'm into preventive maintenance. How about you? You know, I'm into walking away from things that cause sickness to come upon me. I don't want to constantly be destroyed and then have God give it back to me and be destroyed and have Him give it back to me. I want to be able to walk in this life, not like this, see, but I want it to start narrowing out and then I want it to start being level. And I know that's what you want too, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't. I'll leave two concepts with you. One is that the pure in heart shall what? They shall see God. And Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to see spiritually, perceive spiritually, understand spiritually, discern spiritually, divide truth from error spiritually. We need to be able to have God's eyes and Jesus' eyes. And you know what? We can. He gave it to us. He said it's yours. The kingdom is yours. This is the kingdom of God. We need to be able to see into the realm of the Spirit. Two instances. One comes out of Genesis chapter 21, and I'll just go over it real quick. It's about Hagar, the handmaiden that Sarah's handmaiden that she gave to Abraham because they didn't really have enough faith to believe that it was her that was supposed to have the child. And after the child had grown a little bit, Sarah kicked Hagar out of the camp. And Hagar, here's a picture of her and her child, and she goes out of the camp. And it says, and she wept and she sat down over against the child a good way off. She put it under a bush to get him out of the sun. And she went over and sat about a bow shot away. She sat under another bush and she wept before the Lord because she had no water. She'd been put out of the camp. Surely she would perish and her son would perish. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Verse 17 says, and God heard the voice of the lad, the child. And the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, this gets me, what aileth thee, Hagar? What's the matter with you? What are you crying about? I mean, Lord, she's only out in the desert, no water, and she's going to die, her and her son. Nothing more than that. But he says, fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is.